Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Adam Fitch podcast. I'm your host, Adam Fitch. You should know that by the name of the podcast. If you don't know that my name is Adam Fitch by now, then there is something completely wrong because of clever branding and such. This is the 23rd episode, I think. I'm always shit with episode numbers, and I might be moving the podcast up to two times a week. So that'll accelerate quite a bit. It just depends on if someone might let me go part-time while paying the same amount of money, you know. Every week, try and speak to people from different corners of the industry to understand what the fuck is going on, and no one's really doing that. So I'm continuing it. And I've had a journalist, I had Jacob Wolf of ESPN on before, but now I've got, oh God, I don't even know how to introduce this guy. Not only is he my boss, he's one of the most 100 influential people in esports. He's represented by MN2S, the famed agency that definitely didn't get absolutely panned and unverified on Twitter. Yeah. And he's the boss man of Esports Insider, which is the leading business publication. Also has hosted more esports conferences and business events than anyone on a global basis, I believe. We also do consultancy and agency work, everything. Like ESI now is just, like, I'm not even saying this because I'm biased. If we were shit, I would say it. But like an absolute like powerhouse in esports at this point, and you can't really deny it. So thank you for joining me, Sam. It's taken a long time to get you to agree to this.
I know, man. This has been my thank you for having me, for starters. This week I realized, because Swipe Right got me on that other events industry podcast, and I did that. That was my podcast debut on Monday, and then I felt too guilty, so I realized that I had to come on the Adam Fitch podcast, mate.
Wait, so I could have taken your podcast cherry?
Yeah, it was close. It was a close run thing. You know, the first time's always bad, right? And you're the second time, so I'm going to be good now.
That's fine. I don't want to deal with all the emotional shit that comes after the first either.
Yeah, exactly. I was crying all Tuesday.
Fucking also, so just so I know, like, was that a very general podcast in terms of who you are and what you do and what Esports Insider does and such?
Yeah, essentially that was, so that's an events industry news, kind of what we do, but just for the events industry more broadly. So they were just asking about how COVID has affected esports, that kind of thing, and like our type of events and how we plan them and what we've got planned for the future when things are back to normal.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fair enough. I noted just before we started recording this that I actually know fuck all about you. So I want to get into that a bit. I also want to talk about like the media side of esports, especially because it is a tough one. There's a reason, like, but not many people at all are making money, and every 6 months or so, a publication disappears. A lot of the time, they're mishandled, like Upcomer and VP. Let's be honest, but Cybersport disappeared, and that had the funding from Mail.ru or Mail.ru or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So it wasn't necessarily a money thing there, but. I just want to ask first off, like, it's COVID related, but it's not specifically on the nose like that. Would you say that it's actually been beneficial to Esports Insider anyway, in terms of like helping us think outside of the box and explore new revenue streams and such?
Yeah, like I think we have the Esports Journal magazine. Obviously, I wrote the intro the other day, and I think I used the line, "Adversity breeds creativity," because I must have been having a very deep philosophical moment. Ooh. But that's now gone to print, so I can never take that back. But yeah, essentially, obviously, as your tweet said the other day, which I fully agree with, like, esports has been hit, maybe not as hard, but has been hit hard by this. Of course it has. And our ESI, our main revenue stream to date, has been the events and the B2B conferences. And obviously, they are on hold for now. So we'll be hosting a digital summit, and we've rescheduled New York, and I know, spoiler alert, and we've got ESI London towards the end of the year as well. But obviously, for now, that revenue stream has been hit fairly hard. But that said, we now have the news site picking up. It's like, you have done a fantastic job, man. And we're getting there, and our team now is brilliant, right? And we've got the journal coming together nicely. We've got... The media arm is picking up very nicely, so the white label content side, obviously that's because of more eyes on esports than ever before. Obviously ESI Connect as well, so our service that connects the rights holders to brands, suppliers and investors, that is also getting more attention than ever before, and hopefully we'll have a fairly big deal to be announced on that side of things quite soon. I'll tell you about that after. I'm afraid I can't say it on camera.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't even know what the fuck it is.
Literally as of this morning, so it's very recent.
So you mentioned like the publication side growing, right? And do you see that as just a purely a sign of COVID and more eyes being on it? Or I can say from experience, obviously being in it day in, day out, like we've ramped things up massively. And I'd say we're the only publication that's covering what we're covering besides AO.news, which is actually just copying our shit and then rewriting it a little bit. Which I'm going to call out on Twitter one day soon, by the way. So I'll just let you know on that. Because I'm fucking sick of their shit. Yeah. They don't cover it until we've done it, and then it's out within an hour. It's just like, yeah, I can see what you're doing. But the features we've been putting out are banging. You won't find stuff like that anywhere else. Like we're covering everything from the big to the smaller stuff, but still significant bits. So would you say it's just COVID bringing more eyes in, or we're actually ramping things up?
I guess it's a mixture of both, right? It's the COVID thing has definitely caused something of a snowball effect, right? But like that ball was already rolling. Like we've definitely ramped things up ourselves a lot in the past few months. Like the new additions to the team, Mitch, HB, Crystal, have all been fantastic. And it takes some journalists longer than others, obviously, to get a hang of things and slot into how we do it. But they've all been like that. Like, as you've said, they've been brilliant. And so that's helped to a massive degree. We've got Andrew as the content lead on the Esports Journal. And yeah, so obviously COVID and more attention on esports than ever before, like, has helped us in some way for sure. Like my calendar for calls with random new brands and agencies and whoever has never been busier. There's never been more people wanting to know about ESI and what we do and ESI Connect. And some of those calls are quite literally, so what exactly is esports? Like ninja esports, yeah? I mean, those calls take a while, but I get it. Like that's where the industry is at. And I think that's one thing I always say is that we as an industry need to maybe be better at or need to better realize is that we live somewhat in a bubble because, I mean, I've only been in the esports industry for 5 years or so, which is nothing really, but esports as a whole industry has grown a lot over the past, 2 years, 3 years? Mm-hmm. But that's, and we have major brands now, like BMW signed with those five teams the other day, as just one example. But because of that, I think some of us forget that we do live in a bubble and there's the wider spread knowledge and understanding of what esports is and how it's just a niche and a part of the video games industry, and it isn't video games as such. There's not that quite the level of understanding and comprehension of that worldwide that we maybe think there is sometimes. So, and like we often do the brand's opportunity for esports at our conferences, right? And I'm a bit bored of them, but we still need to do them and we still will keep doing them for the next few years at least, because that's how the industry needs to grow. So yeah, like we're getting there, but it's the COVID has in a way helped esports, I guess, because longer term there's going to be more awareness and understanding of it. Like we've seen that with all the sports properties making big moves in the past month.
Mm-hmm. And then plus we'll see a lot of consolidation soon, which I've thought we've needed for quite some time now, where it's just there's a lot of talented people in esports, but they're spread across however many organizations we've got because there's no barrier to entry, so everyone's just starting them. So I know there's merger offers going around with similar reciprocity. That's, I believe it went bankrupt, let go of everyone. And Ghost actually is remaining, which is good news. I think we'll have something on that soon. I don't know because the CEO's kind of fucked me over a bit, be completely transparent with it. But maybe it'd be cool to get more details on it and more information on it, because I thought that was going the way of the dodo. And thankfully it hasn't. But I think among like the tier two scene, I think and tier three, we'll see a lot of consolidation, which will strengthen things. And instead of having 10 like decent organizations, we might have like 4 or 5 really fucking good ones. And ultimately that'll be financially better for them if they can rival 100 Thieves and Liquid and TSM with its apparent 50 mil fucking facility, which is definitely not 50 mil, 100% not 50 mil.
Yeah, I saw that one. That's quite a fee, isn't it?
If you've spent 50 mil on that, then you're off your head. You're not making 50 mil back on that.
Dodgy builders, maybe. I'm not sure how they're getting to that figure.
No, that's wild. Yeah, it's like, it's worth 1 mil, but they fucking had to spend 50 mil because they're big. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
Consultancy around it. Consultancy about what type of brick.
Exactly, mate. It's important stuff. And you mentioned, like, it takes some journalists longer than others to get up to speed, right? And I'm not doing this kind of toot my horn in any way, but I would love to know, because Esports Insider was my first writing job in esports, right? I'd written, yeah. I was getting paid by CBR, so on the comic book and movie TV side of stuff, but I'd followed esports since 2008 with Call of Duty, but that was it. I know nothing about the industry side. And I Googled esports news and found Esports Insider. I emailed you, and then you gave me a trial. Like, was that just like good timing in terms of you were looking for a new writer, or like, why? I don't know why you decided to take the chance, because I don't think I really showed much promise, especially nothing relevant on the esports side.
So those dulcet Scunthorpe tones, mate.
Yeah, as I say, I'm not trying to do it so you can build my ego up. I'm genuinely curious, because I don't have a fucking clue. I wouldn't answer someone now if they came to me and said, oh, I wrote this X-Men piece. Can I write for you? I'd be like, no.
Things were, as we say, that like, esports has come a long way in a couple of years, right? Like, things were different then. ESI started out as just the industry news site and just Ollie and I writing as much copy as we could and trying to do opinion pieces and interviews as and where we could. In terms of finding capable writers, because obviously, as you well know now, we come at it from the business and industry angle, right? Which makes it even harder, because most, I assure you, I think I still have them on Hitmarker, most of the applications we get for writers still now, whenever we put something up, lead with the line, hello, I love League of Legends, or I'm a massive Call of Duty fan, or whatever. That's great, but ultimately, I don't care that much. What I want to know is about your writing acumen, your desire to become a journalist, or your knowledge more broadly of the esports space, and obviously an understanding of how it works as a business. And I think you're probably better placed than most people on the planet to talk about and write about that now, but most people aren't. And I think most people, and again, I get why, but most people still know on ESI or hear about ESI, maybe know the name, but think that, oh, I can just write about like Fnatic signing this new roster. Like, nah, that, I'm afraid that isn't at all what we do. Mm-hmm. And so it's very hard to find esports journalists flat out generally that can write about a game well for a publication, but then we're that extra level of awkward niche where we're through the industry and business lens. And also, not everyone finds that interesting, right?
No.
So I do, and like you do, we love it, but it's not for everyone. So it's very, very hard, has been very, very hard to find.
It's like the least sexy part of esports, right? But the thing is, if the business side didn't exist, then people would just be playing games and that's it.
Exactly.
So I'm like, I don't understand why there's not the interest there. But also, like, I feel like when most people get into writing, it's because they really do love League of Legends, for example, and they want to write about why Double Lift going to TSM is a good move or a bad move or whatever it may be. Mm. And because that's what interests them. But not many people grow up loving business. There was nothing on business at school. Like, I wasn't exposed to that shit. And like, I didn't even really know what ESI did until like I'd started my trial, and I had a 2 week trial. And I think by the end of that, I kind of understood the angle that we was going for. And luckily I got taken on as such, but like, yeah, I was definitely unequipped for it. So it just, I look back now and I'm like, I don't understand why I got the opportunity. But like, it's also fucking cool to see. That was January 2018. It's cool to see what the fuck has happened since then. It's wild. Like, I was literally a complete random, and I still am now in a sense. But like, a complete random with
UK Journalist of the Year, mate.
Somewhat like that. And I mean, if anything's right in the world, then it'll be 2-time this year. Let's be, because no, I was speaking to Ducky about it the other day. Like, let's discuss this a little bit, right? UK journalists in esports, there are not many good ones at all. I was trying to name people who would be in the finals, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't really pick anyone. Because like Duncan Thorin and Richard Lewis don't really get included in that, because I think it's more of an angle of covering UK esports, but it's not really much to cover. So if we look at UK journalists, like, there's not many good ones at all, right?
I mean, it's, I guess, the, how much we stretch the journalist word, right? I mean, like Sue Collins, obviously, she's done very good stuff for Sky for a long time. I'm not sure how, and like Red Bull, I'm not sure how much she writes now, because she seems to be focusing more on the video side of things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was kind of baffling to me that she wasn't at least in the contenders last year. Yeah. But yeah, no, generally I do agree with you. Yeah, there's not loads. And I'm not really sure why that is.
Yeah, me neither. I don't have a clue.
It's hard to be funny these days as a journalist, regardless of industry, right? Like football, they're kind of good writers, a ten a penny, because everyone loves it. And but it's hard to make money as a journalist. It's hard, as you said, like all those sites that consumer facing esports sites that have come and gone. Even the Daily Mail, like, I hate the paper, but their esports section was good, and they had like good writers there, but they've canned that for whatever reason. I assume ad blocking, and they weren't making money out of it, and that was that. So it's a shame, and I'm not sure if and when that will change, to be honest.
No, I've been thinking about it a lot recently after that conversation with Ducky, because I was just like, Ducky's writing for Pinnacle, so but I mean, like, he's not really doing like reporting and journalism, so like, I can't really add him to it. And I mean, I do bits and bobs. I mean, if we're looking at UK coverage, like when there is UK news, and I'll cover it. Dom does it when he can, but like, that's limited. Like, there's not really much choice out there, and then it becomes like a popularity vote. And I actually tweeted out for people to vote for other people instead of myself, which actually seemed kind of like an anti-promotional strat, which worked, but I didn't mean for it to. So this year I'll just tell everyone to vote for me, because
it's easier, right? I mean, what Dom Zacco's done with Esports News UK is fantastic. Like, he's a good mate as well, but he's done brilliantly. And the fact that he's still, it's just his passion for it, right? Which is what we were saying before. That's ultimately what you want from journalists and from editors and such. But I mean, he's got, his house is like full of babies, and he's still like banging out Esports News UK alongside his job for British Esports and such. He's great, but yeah, they're people like Dom are few and far between, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. No, it's wild, and I wanna discuss how you got into it all, because like, so you were a journalist, right? You were writing a lot in the past, but I guess before ESI came into fruition. So can you discuss that a little bit? Because I literally don't have a fucking clue, mate. And it's
bad. I've done this on so many calls and such. I thought I must have given you this spiel. But yeah, so basically, after the way like ESI was born, after university, fair few years ago now, I did the whole traveling bit. I was living out in Taiwan, of all places, teaching English abroad for a while, and that was kind of part time, and just to earn a bit of money on the side, I was doing some journalism for a site called SBC News. So SBC, who've grown a lot over the past 5 years, they cover, at least SBC News covers, gambling industry news stories. So I was writing about Paddy Power CEO changing and like to other stories that I absolutely do not care about. Right. And so I put it, you know, bit of pocket money, right? I pitched to them, this must have been about, I don't know, 2014-ish, early 2015, something like that. Pitched to them the idea of covering esports betting news from, again, an industry perspective, because, I mean, it kind of is now, especially right now, for a lot of bookies are looking at it. But back then, it was kind of brand new. Like, Pinnacle have been offering it in some way, shape, or form since 2010. Not many others have, and a lot still do it very badly if they really offer it at all. But yeah, we started covering that on SBC News. Then we started doing some esports focused panels at their gambling industry conferences. And yeah, that all seemed to go quite well. So then we essentially came up with the idea of replicating SBC's business model, which is the B2B media arm, the news sites, the agency to some degree, and the conferences. So I essentially suggested that this was very much needed for esports as a whole, because there wasn't really anyone doing it at the time. CEO were just about there, but there was a lot of opportunity, as there still is, for people to do this, right? So yeah, we ran with that. We launched Esports Insider as the brand and the website in August, what was it, 20, what year is it? 2016. And then, where am I? Yeah, we launched it as a website. And then we spent the first year kind of building the brand and just generating awareness of it. So Ollie was in the very, very early days, like essentially as we launched it, was the first person we brought in. And so he and I essentially spearheaded it together from the beginning. And then we were also doing bits and pieces for SBC, but then we were focusing on growing ESI as a news site. About 12 months down the line, we then started going into B2B events on like a very small scale compared to what we do now. But that's when Fnatic had the bunker space open in Shoreditch. And so we hosted four different just evening networking events there. And there was one panel. I think one was why football clubs are entering esports, which to be fair, remains a valid panel now. But there was one on brands. I think there was one on betting and I think maybe one on like apparel and merch or something. So that's when Benoit was there at Fnatic, who's great. But yeah, we did those. And then the following year, we kind of outgrew the space a bit and then started to do the conferences and everything else. 2019 obviously stepped it up again. And we had ESI New York and we had events in LA, little one in San Fran even. And obviously ESI London has since become kind of our flagship conference and brands. And then we've also since launched, obviously, the media arm more properly and ESI Connect more recently too. But yeah, that essentially brings us to now, mate. So it's been so my entrance into it is really weird, essentially, because it is, I've always like loved video games and played a lot of games, but certainly I'm not like an esports guy as such, like League and Dota completely over there. CS, I watch a bit, like I've played once or twice, but I'm terrible. Like I played Overwatch for a while. Love Rocket League because I'm a child. And Call of Duty, I've since lockdown have recompleted about every campaign and every game of it. So yeah. But yeah, that's it. So yeah, the betting space was actually where I kind of came from in a way.
Right. Did you have any like prior experience running a business?
No.
So a lot of like learning along the way. I guess yeah. Like, having SBC there to help because they had already done it.
Yeah, Andy and Rasmus, Andy's MD of the group and Rasmus is CEO. So they've backed it fully and yeah, I can't thank them enough for that and like helped me along the way. So I essentially the way ESI works, I own a bit of it, but I'm a minority and then Raz and SBC are the majority, but they've certainly helped. I mean, the infrastructure in place with like the basics, right? Like from finance to an office to design, like Tenya, who's on our team, is brilliant. And she does some SBC stuff and obviously a lot of ours. That has been invaluable, of course, because like I never had the startup pain of going to investors, pitching. Like I never had to do the clutch, for example. Yeah. Like I've never had to pitch to anyone like, you should give us this amount of money for this reason. And it, like, here's a bit of ESI. I've never had that pain. I've had like all the other startup journey pains, of course, but that is a fairly big one and never had to go through that, fortunately.
And what was the biggest headache or kind of like challenge you've had along the way so far?
I guess it's finding, like we were talking about earlier, it's finding people that are a good fit, not even just on the journalism side, but finding people that are a good fit for the business. Because again, regardless of what role you're in, you can love games and you can love Dota or whatever, but ultimately, like if I'm hiring someone for, this is what I always say to Hitmark and everyone else, but if I'm hiring someone for marketing, I want that person to be first and foremost very, very good at marketing. Yes. And know what they're doing there. If they also happen to know everything about esports and love a certain game, wonderful. That's definitely a string to their bow. But ultimately, hiring people that are focused and experts in their area is the main thing. And obviously, esports, again, we're getting there, but let's be honest, like the revenue streams and the way money flows through the ecosystem right now isn't quite the pretty picture that some mainstream media outlets might make it out to be with these big numbers and big figures. And like, yeah, it's making a lot of money now and we're getting there, but also that money isn't flowing through the industry quite as readily as it should.
No, not at all. And yeah, it's a picture a lot of people on LinkedIn try to paint, and it's typically the ones who actually have no idea what's going on, but they're just along with the ride, in a sense, like trying to get some money out of it while they can, like advising, oh, I'll consult you on this, yeah, that's fine, and I'll take a cut out of it, and I've got nothing to do with you. And as there are so many, like, I don't know, I guess it's because everyone's saying esports is the next big thing, that's why we've got so many of these figures around. And I for the longest time now, I've been tempted to start a rampage against them on LinkedIn and really go after them, but then as time goes on as well, I've kind of mellowed out a little bit, in the sense that I understand that I'm supposed to be professional. And while I am in my job, like, I make sure everything gets fucking done and it's done well. But like, I'm a very outspoken person, and I would happily tell someone to suck my dick, which is not the best thing to do on LinkedIn. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, so it's really hard. Yeah. No, not at all. And I tweeted out and I put it on LinkedIn as well. If anyone's got any horror stories from dealing with these people, then reach out. And guess how many people reached out?
Go on.
Fucking zero, mate. I'm just like, what the fuck? For real? So I'm willing to fucking go against these guys, but properly, and no one gives a fuck. It's just like,
One idea you'll love. I'm not sure if I've pitched this to you yet, but this, maybe it was Mark and I or Ollie and I a while back, we first discussed doing this. So you ever watched this is like a very UK reference as well, but you ever watched Room 101?
I know the concept behind it, but I've never
watched. Yeah. It's, I forget his name, the presenter. But yeah, it's basically where obviously like celebrities come on and each bring like a few ideas and like things they hate and annoyances and stuff, like often very trivial. And then the presenter votes on like which one goes into Room 101. I am desperate to do that, but for esports, because I think, I mean, you and I alone could come up with a lot of things that would go into like esports Room 101. LinkedIn consultants being probably the first one, which goes straight in there, but there's definitely a few more beyond it, right?
No, that's not a bad idea at all, to be honest with you. I'm going to have a think about that after.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get any work done because my mind will just be on that now. That's the only problem, mate. Fucking, yeah. I don't know what it is. And I'm kind of thinking, should I just like do like a mock of them and pretend to be like them and just take the piss on LinkedIn? But then I'm like, it's really not the forum for jokes and stuff, no matter how much some people do treat it like it's Facebook or something. You know,
baby pictures and whatnot. It's bizarre. It's a bizarre platform. I don't really know how the algorithm works either, because the stuff I get pushed and it's on my feed is nonsense often.
Exactly. I want to know where you see ESI going, more aptly, I guess, like where you want it to go, like end game, if there is an end game, or like long-term vision for it.
Yeah. I mean, I think the arm of it that probably has the biggest revenue and commercial potential is Connect, right? So it's going well at the moment, and it's typically no retainer fee and it's always non-exclusive, but that's where we bring primarily to esports teams and TOs. We work with them as members of it and then help to find the best fit brands that want to sponsor, investors and that can help, and suppliers as well. And obviously on the brand, suppliers and investors side, a lot of the time it's just that first and foremost explaining what esports is, and then in turn finding their focus, their demographic targets and so on, and then we'll connect them to whatever rights holder makes the most sense, and then happy days for everyone, right? We hope. What I ultimately think, because with Connect we're not an agency, right? So we can't like activate the campaigns, but that is certainly a route that it could go. We will see. So there's that part of it. I think there's a lot more that can be done in terms of like uniting, like obviously like in China and out in like SEA, the esports industry is growing very, very fast. In China, obviously already massive, but connecting those two dots, right, between teams and rights holders and brands and such here, connecting the East and West and such is one potential of it. There's also LATAM, which is another region that's growing massively and similarly, like trying to bring it all the dots together more. So there's the ESI Connect and the agency arm. In terms of the media side, like the journal is doing very well now, like whether that becomes a subscription service, who knows, but definitely want to continue beyond just this strange time we live in right now with the postal distribution as well. We've launched it obviously on the socials and digitally, it should go really well. ESI in, well, who knows, mate? I don't know if you speak Spanish, but I've dabbled with the idea of, no, me neither. I think Sean does, maybe he can do that. But launching, but launching Esports Insider in different languages, I guess, Spanish first and foremost, ultimately targeting the scary big dog of China and a Mandarin version. Who knows? This is like obviously much further down the line. I would also, what I would love, and what I'm sure you'd be keen for, like it was really sad, right, recently with all this, to see Cheddar Esports be no more. That was a real shame because like the content they produced there was fantastic and the hosts were great. I really loved everything about it. I would love for us to kind of step in and do obviously what we do, which would be a business and industry focused version of that. And whether that's like live segments day to day or how we do that studio wise, I don't know. But that's something that I've been having like very early stage conversations with certain people about, but absolutely one thing that I think could be a really, really cool way for ESI to grow in the future.
No, that's really interesting. I think the further you go along the line of the non-publication stuff, though, the more skeptical people could become of the conflict of interest area, where it's like, okay, well, yeah, we're dealing with the mark side, so we're going, or not conflict of interest, but like acting favorably, kind of losing your objectivity in your journalism and such. But like, I can say firsthand that I've never had to deal with any of that stuff. There's no pressure from you to be like, okay, we've just done a deal with XYZ, now we need to cover 17 of their pieces while we can keep them sweet, all that shit. There's never been ever any of that. But I mean, if I was looking from the outside, if that side really picked up, though, it'd be hard to see publicly unless you were discussing it publicly, which you don't do on that side anyway. I would be skeptical about that at a certain point, 100% from the outside. But I think considering it's a small team overall, like the divisions that are in place for each department seems very fucking clear. And I assume that was a conscious thing, because I mean, while you're like dipping into seven different chats in the space of a minute to stay on top of everything, it's there's never really any, like the waters are never muddied, or there's never really any like cross contamination from the work we do.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's vital. I was literally saying that on a call about ESI Connect this morning, was that it's very important for us, and like I basically won't pursue it unless that division is clear, that what we do on esportsinsider.com and the journal and such remains fully, just like fully separate to any ESI Connect deal. And like, yeah, maybe we do more feature pieces with clients we work with in Connect just because we're speaking to them more, but for esportsinsider.com and the journal has to remain fully independent. And I want you to call out the bullshit where you see it, and I want you and I want all of the team to write freely about essentially whatever they want if it's valid, okay? And that, because I think that's super important, as you always say, for the wider growth of the industry, is to call out the bullshit now and for the foreseeable future. And I think we're one of the few that are independently placed to do that.
Yes.
Because like our funding doesn't come from like Rasmus. I think, I can't remember what game he loves. He might have like used to play like World of Warcraft or something, but Rasmus and SBC are nothing to do really with the esports space, right? So there's no stakeholders in esports anywhere that have a stake or that are a part of the ESI ownership group. And that's imperative for me that always remains the case, so that we can remain fully independent and that we can call out the bullshit as and where it happens. And yeah, I can understand, as you said, why people might see that going more down the agency route or whatever might muddy the waters. But yeah, I'm going to ensure it doesn't. And obviously, whenever we do sponsored content, there are disclaimers on the site. When I did the bit with Rewired, that was always clear. So yeah, I think we make it as clear as we can. But yeah, of course, it's difficult to prove that.
Oh, without a doubt. And when I won something last year at some award, like I'm not bringing it up to brag at all, but no, I'm joking. It's the award is just ever. So when it, like ESI is or was a media partner or however you want to declare it of the UK Esports Awards, right? Like we were.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I actually received I had a call with someone maybe a few months afterwards saying they were worried that we had an influence on it, which is whatever. Like, if we're involved in it, then I happen to, and then if ESI is involved in it, and then ESI, someone from ESI wins an award, like it's an okay leap to make, though it is a leap, right? And I said to them, look, the moment I see anything that seems funny, and like, this is not an insult to you, but the moment I see anything that seems funny within ESI, I told them I would write an article on ESI and post it about how ESI is doing fuck shit. That's the level where I'm at with it. It's just like,
I love you.
I'm like, yeah, if I found out we was taking funny money or something like that, that'll be published instantly, and then there'll be a copy made ready to go on Medium once you've taken it down. Like, it is what it is. So like, I quickly dispelled that. Like, I hadn't even thought of it myself.
It's difficult. But obviously, like, things like that, like, I understand it, but we're not really there as an industry, right? There's not these like big corporate shadows behind Esports Awards being like, yes, if you join us, we will ensure that Adam Fitch wins the award. We're not quite there, like, but we just want to ultimately help the industry to grow, and there's not that many that are as well placed to do it. No. So, I mean, that situation was literally like, they'll put our logo up as a media partner, they'll do a couple of tweets, and we'll help with some articles and some content around it. Because obviously, it's beneficial for us. It is UK. Yeah, that's like we're obviously global. Like, most of our readership is US and whatnot, but at the same time, like, London's our flagship conference. We want the UK scene to grow. Of course we do. That probably is our bias.
Yeah, and actually, if we were going to do something dodgy, right, we would do something much more impactful than have me win Reporter of the Year. When I didn't even fucking want it, man. I was sat at the table like, oh, I hope I don't
get it. I'd have made Sean win it. If I'd have put money behind it and I got to choose, I'd have made Sean win it for sure.
Yeah, like, yeah, sales manager turned Reporter of the Year. Like, that being said, yeah, like, if we're going to do something dodgy, I'm sorry, but making me receive an award I don't want to receive is not the way we're going to fucking do it, you know? It's going to be some of that line's pockets. Exactly. Not, yeah, it's like, it's moved off there once, and that's because a friend of mine, while I was streaming, told me to show the award. That's the only time it's moved, and then they screenshotted it and distributed it everywhere, of course, and make it look like I'm bragging. But like, like, it's not gonna happen. I mean, like, when I win again this year, like, it's not gonna be because we've done anything dodgy. No, I'm joking. I'm trying to be more confident in myself. But even then, I still feel like an absolute knob saying that shit. I don't know. I can't think of people as we discussed before. I don't know who else. Even though my writing's gone down a lot, actually, I realized this week I passed 1,500 articles for ESO.
Really? I was going to ask that. So yeah, I wondered how many we've done overall.
It's over 4,000. I think it's like 4,200 something, maybe 4,300 now.
What am I on from? You surpassed
you
me.
You were in the 800s, I think, or was that Ollie?
Yeah, probably. We were probably about the same. Maybe he was a few more.
Yeah, so maybe one was at 1,000, one was at 800 or something like that. Yeah, so I'm basically Mr. ESI at this point.
That's it. Anyway, mate, forget the UK. You'll be esports industry awards proper.
I've not done enough. That's the thing. Like, there was the PUBG revenue share numbers, and there's been mainly the stuff that I do has been PUBG related, but it's relevant to the industry. But I haven't done too much in terms of like really good journalistic work at this point. I've in the past couple of months. Which I feel like is an interesting like personal development. I feel like for the longest time I was saying I'll never be a good editor and I don't think I'm cut out for it. But like you offer me it, and at the end of the day, it's like, okay, then you must think I can do it. But in the past couple of months, I've like grown into it to the point where I now see myself more of an editor than I do a journalist, which is an interesting change in my head. Like, I never thought I'd get to that point. Cause as I say, it's not that I was doubting myself. It was just like almost imposter syndrome, where I felt like I wasn't in the position to be able to do that and class myself at least decent. But yeah, in the past couple of months, I don't know. So something just switched in my head one day, and I guess over these past couple of months, especially like seeing how everything's turning out. Like, so I actually see myself more of as an editor now. So like, I don't even expect to be considered in any of those conversations. Obviously, if I can still do any like exclusive work, or like I still muck in when I can. There's a lot more I wish I could do. Like, there's a bunch of feature ideas that I've put together in our like work portal, which Mitch took one of them and it absolutely banged, and that'll look great for me. But but all credit to Mitch for writing it. But it was my fucking idea. So yeah, one side of me wishes I could write more, but another side of me now is just like, right, let's kill it on this side and prove that I can do this. And it's almost like it feels like a step up for me. Which, rightly or wrongly, just perception-wise, and I don't have a fucking clue where I'm heading in life, like, career-wise. I still don't have a clue, but I'm more at peace with that now because I'm happy that I'm progressing right now, you know? Because I'm always the guy to fucking look forward like hell. So if you got any, like, big ideas non-esports-wise or in esports that's not ESI that you would like to get to at some point later down the line when you're, like, 40 and grey?
I mean, we're doing... What else have we got going on? So we've got this. We also announced that is esports though, the WFH League, right? On earlier this week. And I think the potential for that, because like I've always said on the event side, like, oh God, I never want to be like a tournament operator or whatever. And I definitely still don't, because God, that must be horrendous. But the WFH League, so it's work from home, win from home.
I thought it was like way fucking hey or something like.
Work from home, win from home, which is a tagline that we were very, very sadly proud of. So it's obviously the joint venture with Platform and my first season. So it's companies, corporate league, companies playing companies. First season will be online only, but beyond that, we're going to host it at Platform.
Which negates the name of the entire league, but...
Yeah, well, no, Adam, we've considered this, actually, because Platform is your home from home.
Fucking hell!
I had that. I don't know if I mentioned that to Lika though, but that's why, mate. Don't worry.
That is diabolical. Okay, fair enough. I'm with you.
But you're home for home. But it's like a family, Adam. It's like a family.
Of course.
But so anyway, the potential for that, like season two onwards, and to expand it outside of just the platform that's in London now, and expand it more widely. I think that's huge. That's something definitely keen to keep pushing and keep getting behind.
I guess we're not allowed to compete in it, right? ESI, since we're officially running it.
Well, say that. It depends how many teams we get signed up. As it stands, we definitely don't need to. But if it comes down to...
I wouldn't say because we need to fill gaps. I'm just wondering in general. So you have to work for the company...
Might be funny about it.
You have to work for the company to represent them type thing. So I couldn't just go tag team in with Esports Observer, for example.
Ask them if they're down for it. You might be.
Do you reckon they're going to travel from Berlin to London for a CSGO wingman and a bit of FIFA?
See if they're serious, mate.
Let's see. Do I want to bring it up? That's the first time I've ever stopped myself saying anything.
I'm excited. I've only got about 5 or 10 minutes, mate, so it's up to you.
Oh, of course. No, I think... I really do want to bring it up. Right. No, there's something wrong with me. Like, I'm actually censoring myself. This is mental. No, I'm going to be nice. Like, I'm in an effort of trying to be a nicer person in general.
Civil.
All right. Let's address the elephant in the room, right? You've got an ESI t-shirt behind you, and I don't have an ESI hat on my head.
Yes, that's what we wanted to bring up. So, just to be clear, if the Royal Mail wasn't in a bit of dire straits right now, this would already be at your door. But can you read that?
Yeah. Is my address there?
No, this actually, the box I'm repurposing was Runtime sent me some like mill replacement shakes and. It was a perfect fit, so it works out quite well.
Oh, the grand... You're unveiling it.
The grand reveal.
Oh, fuck. I'm literally going to wear that every podcast. Every podcast.
That's yours.
I promise you, that's going to, like, change colour from head sweat, like, so quick, mate. No.
So We Are Nation sorted us out, so happy days. But yeah, I'll put in some extra surprises and treats in the box, man. Don't you worry.
As long as there's no fucking spiders around. I'm good, you know. Like, what do you, just quickly, non-esports, meal replacement shakes, right? I've been drinking Huel for the past month and a half now.
I need Huel.
During my hashtag weight loss journey. Journey to be fucking healthier, basically, because this sedentary lifestyle that we can lead is not fucking good whatsoever. But what would you think about it? I fucking love it, but I've heard of people say it tastes like soil.
I've never heard that one. The Huel, I think I used to mix it like in with coffee, or like mix a little bit of coffee in with it, like the vanilla one.
Of course.
That was pretty nice. But yeah, I mean, I've not tried these Runtime ones yet, but that's vanilla as well, so I imagine I'll like it. I've also, Skyler, if you're listening, I want to try your control stuff, mate. So yeah, send some of that over. It's like sticky coffee or something? Cinnamon.
It's all supposed to taste like cereals. Mm. Like the bottom of the cereal. Like, you know, like the milk. I've spoken to Skyler, and he says he's hooking me up, apparently, because I think they're working quite quickly on getting it available in the UK.
Oh, nice.
Which is fucking
cool. I definitely think they're... I mean, it's time-saving, right? Like, I did the whole Huel bit for a while. And yeah, it's just... I think if you're not exercising as well, though, like, they're quite hard to... At least the Huel ones, they're quite hard to, like, get down.
Oh, no, you know, I finished mine in 30 seconds. All my mates are on it as well. I've got a really tight friendship group of four of us, right? And three of us are on Huel. They take about half an hour. I do it within a minute. I had mine... at 9:59 and we started at 10. Like, I wolfed it down.
Fair.
So yeah, they're just an animal. If y'all just not making it right.
Maybe I'm doing the wrong quantities. I'm not sure.
But yeah. Right. So for time, we've both got work to be doing. I mean, yeah, I'm you're letting me do this during work time, which is mental. Shout yourself out, shout ESI out, whatever you want. What any ending messages? This is the floor is yours, mate.
Oh, okay. When does this get published and go live so I don't get in trouble and say things I shouldn't?
Oh, shit. I don't know, because I don't know if I'm doubling it up to twice a week yet.
It doesn't matter. We have the ESI Digital Summit coming up on the 25th and the 26th of May.
Another Fish exclusive.
Adam Fish podcast exclusive. That will officially be announced on Esports Insider next week, I think Tuesday.
Okay.
In terms of planning and the reason why Tuesday, it's because Monday is my birthday. So my other announcement is the entire industry should send me loads of cards and cakes, because I was supposed to be in New York for the ESI event, but instead I'm going to be on a council estate in Fulham. So it's not quite as glamorous.
How old are you going to turn?
ESI Digital Summit, 25th, 26th of May. Pardon?
How old will you be?
I will be 29.
Oh, I didn't know if it was the big 3-0, mate.
Yeah, I'm almost there. It's terrifying.
Shit. Well, I'm not going to wish you happy birthday because I don't do that, but I hope you have a good one. No, I'm joking. No, so Sam_S_Cook on Twitter. Really shit username that is.
Oh, mate, I regret it. I know, but I can't change it now. It's also my, like, PSN thing on PlayStation. I hate it.
I'm going to challenge you on that. And Esports Insider, absolutely everywhere. We're best at what we do, so get involved on that. And I'm not just saying that because I'm biased, but I am biased as well. And I'm biased because it is the fucking best. So there we go.
Adam, sorry, I've got one more thing.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Can you apologize to my mum live on your podcast? Because your tweet, she follows us on Twitter, and I don't think she gets your sarcasm. And she sent me a very long, I so showed you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
A very long concerned message that you're leaving ESI to become a pro COD mobile player.
I've been meaning to talk to you about that, though. I actually am leaving ESI. I'm joining Skylar and Sundance are starting a new team. It's called Team Not Envious, and I'm their first signing. I'm the marquee signing. That really shocked me. I'm not leaving ESI. I literally fucking bleed purple, mate. I'm loyal to a fault. Like, in your career, you should never be too loyal. If you don't own a business, you should not be too loyal to it. Like, go wherever, what's best for your career. But, like, there's no chance I'm going anywhere unless I'm fired or anything like that anytime soon, or for load or something. And fuck knows, I'll go join Deserto and smash it there. Esports Insider everywhere. I'm at by Adam Fitch everywhere. This is the Adam Fitch podcast. That was Sam Cook. After months of prodding, we finally got there. Thank you again for your time, mate. And I'll catch you whenever the next one goes out, because I don't have a fucking clue at the moment.